Bill Flores joins us from D.C. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Well, obviously, we want to talk about something that's gotten the world's attention, and that's what happened in Paris and the thought of Syrian refugees possibly coming to our shores. Tell me what kind of action you think will be taken in Washington this week on that.
Well, this is a bipartisan issue of concern in Congress today. And in our advisory meeting with Paul Ryan yesterday, we've agreed that the House needs to take action. We need to do it this week. So we've got a piece of legislation that got filed last night that will be voted on tomorrow, and that deals with this issue head on. It basically says that we're going to put a pause on the Middle Eastern refugee program until such time as the federal government has a program to really be able to vet these folks as being safe. We had a classified briefing from the administration yesterday, and I'm not going to give away that classified, but I can tell you this, and that is they admitted that they don't have a way to vet the folks that are coming from Syria. So we're just basically saying no more until such time as we've got this got the systems in place that we feel confident in so that we can keep Americans safe.
Well, and you said bipartisan, and no less than Chuck Schumer, the Democrat who probably will end up leading the Senate, says that we need to tap the brakes as well.
Exactly. I mean, every now and then, folks on both sides now do listen to what their constituents' concerns are. And, I mean, we our phones are lit up on this issue, and I'm sure that if you're a Democrat senator, even from a blue state, your phones are lit up on this just like mine are. And so they're paying attention, and I think what we've got is common sense, Bill. We're not saying, hey, just stop all refugees altogether. We're just saying, let's just put a pause on this Syrian refugee program until we know who these folks are and that they're really not going to cause us any problems. And, you know, the weaknesses of the system were pointed out clearly in France last week, and it's time for Congress to take aggressive action. You know, theoretically, the president should do this on his own, but I mean, he seems to just double down on this failed program. And if we actually look at the foundation of the refugee problem, it's because the president's Middle Eastern policies have failed. If we'd have had a no-fly zone over certain parts of Syria years ago, we wouldn't have these people streaming out of Syria because they'd have a safe zone inside the country. And they wouldn't be going to Europe, and they certainly wouldn't be coming to the United States.
So then specifically, and we discussed it this morning, I mean, geographically removing them so far from everything they know, putting them culturally in a situation they don't understand in the United States, does them no good. It gives them some physical safety possibly, but does them no good. So really, what could America do, you believe, to be able to help these Syrian refugees and other refugees who are looking for, obviously, some sort of physical well-being?
Well, the best thing to do is to make sure we have policies where we're not part of the destabilization process of a region or a country. And that's the first thing. The president's policies in Syria have been destabilizing. And so let's say that it's too late, Syria's destabilized. What do you do next? Well, the next thing you do, like we did in Iraq under President Bush, is you set up a no-fly zone to say, you as a Syrian government can't come up here and bomb your own people. And so we keep them safe by by making sure that you don't have the government forces of Assad moving into that area. And so you keep all the other aircraft out there. And that way, the folks in Syria that feel like they're displaced can move to that area and have some cover that they're safe and try to rebuild their life in their own country. That's what we could do. Those are the types of things. We are providing billions of dollars each year in foreign aid to countries like Jordan that are taking these folks in, but it's caused a huge problem for those countries in terms of stability. But there are a lot of things we could do. They're a lot closer to that area than to put these folks on an airplane, bring them over here, and then wind up with them on some sort of government assistance like food stamps.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us this morning. Let's shift gears to the budget a little bit because it seems like you were able to, as a body, you were able to come up with some top-line numbers as far as government spending in the process, but the appropriators really haven't broken those funds out yet, and that's probably going to be a debate early in December, is it not?
Well, it's already starting. In our speaker council meeting yesterday, we we started the process. I'm getting in the weeds here a little bit, but we've already, the appropriators have set what are called the 302B numbers, which is a spending by functional area of the government. And so now that that's been done, we need to put the appropriations bills together. Probably it's going to be one big omnibus appropriations bill. But the thing that's more important than the numbers, really, at this point, is what are the policy riders that go with them? And in other words, what's the rider that says, okay, EPA, you cannot try to reclassify the you cannot reclassify the waters of the U.S. Where your pond out of your farm suddenly becomes a navigable water. Those are the types of policy riders that we're looking at.
Okay. The let me ask you to put on your oil hat for a minute. I saw a report today that AAA is saying that nationwide gasoline may be below $2 for Christmas time. Now, we've already got it below $2 in a lot of places here in Texas, but now this continues to be a situation where this is an important part of the Texas economy. What are you seeing the oil industry being able to do in Texas, and what kind of recovery would you say, based on your experience in that business?
Well, one of the things I've noticed is this: the sharper the downturn, the quicker you typically have an upturn. And so this downturn has been incredibly sharp and pronounced. And so because of that, you've got a really low reinvestment rate in the industry. You're starting to see production roll over and move downward. That helps get the market back in equilibrium. The other thing, too, and this hasn't happened yet, is low energy prices typically serve as fertilizer for a growing GDP. The economy, though, is facing so many other headwinds, most of which are coming out of Washington, that it can't really seem to exhibit that characteristic, so you have higher energy demand. So I think we're going to start to see some rebound in 12 to 18 months, but it's really hard to predict at this point. You know, everything we've tried to do in the House to deal with this in terms of having liberalized exports of natural gas and approving exports for crude oil has been blocked by the Democrats. And those would be helpful things to do, so we can let the American producers compete in the worldwide economy. That runs counter to what the president wants to do. He wants to allow Iran to export oil, but not the United States.
Sure. Finally, the TSA has a list of about 14 forms of identification that are acceptable for folks to get through airports. I believe you've got an idea to add one more piece of identification to make that work?
That's correct. Unfortunately, the administration is hostile to the Second Amendment. And so the TSA has said that concealed carry licenses are not an approved form of government ID, even though those are the folks that carry CCLs are probably the most vetted government ID holders of any type in the country. And so Diane Black from Tennessee and I have a bill that forces the TSA to allow individuals to use their concealed carry permit as a form of ID in order to get on an airplane. This is a common sense bill. It's bipartisan, and so my hope is that we get it on the floor pretty quickly and pass it, and then let the president show the American people really clearly where he is on the Second Amendment.
Good. So finally now, you hope there'll be some action as far as the Syrian situation before recess. Will we be talking to you next week, because we're coming up on the holidays?
Yeah, we will. I'm going to be changing planes. I'm going overseas to visit our troops in advance of the Thanksgiving holidays.
Okay.
And so what we'll do is I'll be changing planes in Washington. We'll try to figure out the right window so that we can call in and tell you what's going on overseas, and then also how the Syrian bill worked out on the floor tomorrow.
Excellent. We'll look forward to that. Safe travels to you. And again, we appreciate the time. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website. Again, safe travels to you.
You bet. I'd ask your listeners to remember all those Aggies that were injured and killed in the bonfire collapse back in 1999. Also ask everybody to pray for our military men and women during this Thanksgiving holiday season.
Sure. Thanks so much.